As you know, the new Grinch movie has just released just a short time ago, and it grossed $66 million. Can you believe that? On opening weekend. That's just the first weekend. That's pretty amazing. People are going Grinch crazy all over town. People are loving the Grinch. But the Grinch is really an old story. It's not a new story. It's just an old story that's been retold. And as I took my kids over to see the Grinch, we had lively debate in the Heller household as to which of the Grinch movies was the greatest. You know, there's like the original 1960s something Grinch. There is the Jim Carrey version of Grinch. And then there is the new Grinch. And the new Grinch is actually a softer version. He's actually a lot nicer looking than like the old Grinch or even the Jim Carrey Grinch, right? I mean, just look at that. Look how nice and warm and cuddly the new Grinch is. There's something messed up about that. I love the Jim Carrey Grinch because it's kind of dark and kind of sinister. Did you guys like that? Do we have any Jim Carrey Grinch fans? I like the new Grinch, but I love the Jim Carrey Grinch. My kids are like a little freaked out by that. You know, the weirdest thing about the Jim Carrey Grinch was Baby Grinch, right? I mean, Baby Grinch was like a crossover between Little Chucky and E.T. or something like that, right? I mean, come on. Freaking me out. Giving me nightmares. Baby Grinch. But the story of Grinch really centers around the fact that Grinch's heart is two sizes too small. Very good. Seeing if you guys are awake today. Two sizes too small. And in and through the story, his heart grows. And that's our prayer for this series, that we would see our hearts grow as we learn more about the things that God has to say to us. I got to tell you, though, my favorite character, though, in the Grinch movie is Max the dog. Is he awesome or what? I don't even like dogs, but I love Max. Max is amazing. I mean, Max is the most loyal little friend that Grinch could ever have. When Grinch wakes up in the morning, he rings a bell, and Max the dog brings him some coffee. He plays chess with Grinch. Come on. He plays the drums when Grinch wants to play the pipe organ. You know, Grinch is playing all by myself. And Max is over there keeping good time. He's willing to pull the sled to steal the presents, even though it's like 100 times his own size. I'm telling you, Max is a loyal, honorable little buddy, isn't he? And I love Max because he shows honor. He shows honor. Today we're talking about the heart of honor, maybe the heart of Max, or maybe more specifically, the heart of Christ. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says it like this: be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so we see honor and love and zeal all rolled into one. This is like the combo pack right here. If you go to Chick-fil-A and you get a combo meal, you got your drink and your fries and your sandwich. Well, that's what we got right here in Romans chapter 12. Love, honor, and zeal, and they all go together. And honor is really a forgotten virtue in our culture. When we think about the Christian faith, oftentimes we think about love, and rightly so. But what about honor? People don't talk today about honor. We live in a culture that doesn't really have a lot of honor. But the world would go so much better if we had more honor. What would your business be like if there was a little bit more honor? What would your home be like if there was more honor? What would your life be like if there was a little bit more honor? A little bit more honor. Well, what is honor? What is it? In the Old Testament, the word honor means weight. Means to give weight to something. When you honor somebody, you give weight to their opinions, ideas, and feedback. You know, you listen. You care about what they have to say. That's giving weight is giving honor. Giving weight is honor. It's also respecting or esteeming or valuing, if you will. Respect, esteem, or value. And honor always recognizes value. We ought to give more weight to it. We ought to show honor up and down. The people that are above us, we should honor, and the people that are below us, we ought to honor them. I'm talking about people who may work for us, employees. We ought to honor people who work for us. We ought to honor people that work beside us. We ought to honor the people who work above us. We ought to honor our children that we're shepherding and leading. We ought to honor our spouse. We need to show honor up and down. And honor really is being fair-minded. It's being truthful, and it's showing basic dignity to those that are around us. Honor, honor, honor. Well, who should we honor? I mean, you know, who should we show honor to? If you go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, honor one another. And all through Scripture, there are these passages called the one another's of Scripture. The Bible says we're to love one another. We're to serve one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to encourage one another. Well, in that same stream of thought, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says we ought to honor one another. We ought to honor one another. So who do we honor? We honor one another, right? And the Scripture also gives us some other examples. If you dig through the pages of the Old and New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible tells us that husbands should honor their wives. Look at this. Wives, you're going to love me today. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of grace and life so that your prayers will not be hindered. So he says, husbands, you need to honor your wives, and when you honor your wife, then your prayers won't be hindered. A lot of times we don't think about our prayer life being hindered by the way that we treat our spouse. But notice that correlation right there. If you're praying about things and you're not getting the answers that you want, ask yourself, am I showing honor in the home? Now, right before that, in 1 Peter chapter 3, or in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that wives are to honor their husbands too. Okay, this is a two-way street. But in this particular instance, he says, husbands, if you'll honor your wives, there's a blessing. And listen, whenever you honor God, there's always a blessing that comes as a result of that. If you will honor your wife, you'll have a more effective prayer life. Okay, that's just the truth. So we ought to honor our spouses. How do we honor our spouses? How do we honor our wives? You know, we can honor our wives in so many different ways, helping out around the house, words of encouragement, affirmation, spending time together are some great examples. Learning what our spouses like to do. You know, my wife loves to go to the mall and to go shopping. And by the way, I don't argue with her on that. But she has some favorite stores that she likes to go to. She likes to go to H&M and the sale rack over at Urban Outfitters. If things are kind of lean and if things are a little bit more plentiful, then it's Nordstrom, you know, and she's got the places that she loves to go. So I love to take her to the mall. I used to try to buy clothes for my wife, and I finally just gave up after that. After 21 years of marriage, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. You know, I always pick the wrong color, and my wife's always really gracious to wear it anyway, you know, but it's just not my thing picking out female clothes. I just have never been very good at that. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys may have the touch on that. Or even jewelry. I'm worse with jewelry. Okay, I'm just in another planet when it comes to that. But you know what? I know my wife loves to pick out what she likes to wear, and it honors her when I take her to the mall and I let her pick it out, and then I go, baby, you look great in that. How about that? Is that good? That's good. Let's show some honor, man. Let's bring some honor in the home, right? Let's bring honor in the house. Peter says, if you will honor your wife, by the way, your marriage will be better. Amen? It will be. Honor your wife, your prayers won't be hindered. That's what he says. Also, the scripture goes on and it says, we ought to honor our parents. Okay? Children. Look at this in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may find a long life in the land. I mean, I love this passage. It says, listen, kids, if you'll honor your father and mother, your life will just go better. Is that wisdom or what? That's total wisdom. Now, I know some of the teenagers, you may be here like, you don't know my parents, and, you know, my parents are so old school, you know, my life is so hard, what it may be. But listen, God's put your parents over you for a reason, and if you will do what your parents have asked you to do, if you will honor your parents, your life will go better. Things will be better for you. There's a reason why your parents, they may not have told you all the reasons. They may not have time to tell you all the reasons. They may not have the words to say to tell you all the reasons why they want you to do this and not that. But there's a reason. And when you show honor and when you respect in the home, your life will go better. Will go way better. So honor those parents. Honor those parents. Your parents are there to protect you and to lead you and direct you. Unless your parents are asking you to do something that's just totally against the Bible, go with mom and dad. Amen? Do it. Honor our spiritual leaders, he says. Look at this right here. I didn't make this up, okay? This is just in the Word here. 1 Timothy 5:17. This may sound a little self-serving, but let me just mention it because we're in the stream here of honor one another. The elders, and another word for elder in the Bible is the word pastor. So the elder who are good leaders are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, don't muzzle an ox while it's treading on the grain, and the worker is worth his wages. The Bible is simply saying that we ought to show honor to our pastors. We ought to show honor to our spiritual leaders, if you will. And he says they're actually worthy of double honor. And this is the only time in the Bible that is mentioned double honor, okay? So it's like he's saying, listen, we ought to really honor the people that are leading us spiritually. And this is an important thing. It reminded me, you know, a few years ago, I was in the seminary. I was serving in a church in another state, in another city. And there was a younger pastor that had taken over an old established church, and he called me and said, Ron, I want you to come on my staff. And I was one of the first hires. This is a big church. And I went onto the staff. When I got there, a lot of the old guard, the old members, didn't like the new pastor. And most of the staff didn't like the new pastor. And so there was a big division and a rift. That church later went on to split after I left. Praise God, I wasn't there when that happened. But there was a split, there was conflict, there was just bad, it was just tough all the time. And the pastor hadn't done anything wrong, just the old people just didn't want to change, and it was really hard. And there was so much dishonor in the church. It was crazy. And the church started to decline as a result of the dishonor. But you know what Gina reminded me the other day? She said, Ryan, what's amazing is that the ministry that we were over in the church grew and flourished, and many, many people gave their lives to Christ, and it exploded, while these other areas that were led by other folks that didn't show any honor really, really struggled. And that really is true. It's really hard to grow one ministry in a church when the whole church is plateaued or declining. Most of the time, a church grows all together. But I believe this, that God honored our faithfulness to our pastor, and the ministry flourished. And it was awesome. And it was great. So we need to show honor to the people that God has put over us. How do we do that? We support, we defend them, we pray for them, we encourage them, we follow their leadership. And when we do that, there's a blessing that comes from that. There's a real blessing. The Bible goes on and it says, honor everyone. Honor everyone. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. 1 Peter kind of wraps these things together. And we ought to honor everyone. We ought to honor the people that we like. We ought to honor the people that drive us crazy. Okay? We ought to honor the people that we have things in common with. We ought to honor people that are very different from us. Amen? Because as a follower of Jesus, the spirit of honor leads us to elevate people wherever we are. Wherever we are. And there's some people it's really hard to honor, right? You can honor the role sometimes, even though you may not care for the person. He says, honor the emperor. We ought to honor our governor, our elected officials, our president, whoever it may be, whether we voted for them or not is not really the issue. We just need to show honor. We need to show respect. We need to show esteem and to these parties and to these individuals. And this just honors the Lord. We ought to honor our teachers. We ought to honor our coaches. We ought to honor the people that are our next door neighbors or wherever it may be. We need to just show honor. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor, he says. And just, he kind of rolls it all together there. Well, how do we do this? How do we honor? Notice if you go back to Romans 12:10, it says, honor one another. Say it with me. Above yourselves. Yeah, exactly. So how do you show honor? You put people above self. That's a great little simplified how to this verse, right? How do I honor? I put people above self. That's what honoring is. And we ought to honor people up. We ought to honor people down. We ought to honor people all around, above ourselves. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to lead one of the Broncos to the Lord. And he liked to go bowling. And so he said, Pastor, meet me at the bowling alley. And we're over there at the bowling alley. I get my wallet out. I'm going to pay for the bowling thing. I don't know anything about bowling, but I'm just spending time with this friend of mine. And he says, put your wallet away. Everything here is comped. And I was like, well, whoa. I was like, for real? He's like, yeah, everything that I do here, they just totally do for free. Food, drinks, all the bowling, the shoes, whatever. And he wasn't kidding. I mean, they pulled out the red carpet for this individual. It was crazy. I was like, nobody's ever been doing this for me. I mean, it was very obvious that there was some mad love for the Broncos and for this particular player. They were bringing us food. He was signing autographs. People were coming by and checking on us. I mean, it was amazing to see. And I thought, wow, next time I go bowling, I'm taking my friend with me. It actually is a lot better that way. It's a lot cheaper too. But you know, it's easy to honor people who are celebrities, isn't it? It's easy to honor people who are like really wealthy or people that we really admire. But how often do we honor the people in our own home? How often do we honor the people that we office with and we see every single day? How hard is it sometimes to just show that esteem and that respect to the people that are the closest to us and around us the most? I think that is the greatest test of honor. It's not the people that are rich and famous. It's the people that are right around us. It's the people that we live in the same home with. It's the people that we're closest to that really is the great measuring stick as to where our heart is, where it is. Well, how do I esteem others? It requires me, first of all, to be humble when I want to be prideful. Pride and honor cannot dwell in the same heart. If a person's really proud, they won't honor. There is no honor. The greatest way to get rid of pride is to begin to esteem people, right? Because it puts people over self, and it begins to change our perspective. We ought to be giving people credit. Have you ever done something and then somebody else took the credit for it? You know, we ought to give credit to the people that are doing things that are creditable. People that do well, give them a high five. Give people public praise. I mean, that shows humility and not being prideful. It's esteeming others. Honor. We honor people who are doing well. We honor people who are blessing. We tell them that. We tell them that publicly. We tell them that privately. It's awesome. I'm so thankful today for some people that have helped me get to where I am in my life. Some people have really invested time and energy and have blessed me. And I know you're where you are today because some people have blessed you. Some people have invested into your life. And we ought to be telling those people how much we appreciate them. It keeps us humble, keeps us focused, and teaches us to show honor. We ought to be hopeful when we want to be critical. I mean, now here's a great measure of really a person who has a heart of honor. You're looking hard to find the good when it's really easy to find the bad. I mean, do you have some people in your life like that? You're like, oh, I could list off the 10 things that drive me crazy about this individual. And if you really, really, really think about it, you might be able to find one little thing that you could like compliment them on. But that's the heart of honor. The heart of honor is like when everybody in the office sees the five things that this individual is doing wrong that drives everybody crazy, and yet you choose to talk about the one thing that they do well. That's honor. Esteeming people, man. Building people. The Church of Jesus Christ should be the greatest place in the world of esteeming people. Edge Church exists to honor people, building people up. Man, we want every Sunday when people come into this church, we want people to feel respected and esteemed and loved. People have had a hard week and are going through different challenges. And when they come to the house of God and they feel the love of the people of God and the leaders of Edge Church, it is an awesome thing. We have an awesome opportunity to show honor. We want to have a church that's filled with honor. And honor honors God. So we got to be hopeful when we want to be critical. We got to be self-controlled when we want to be self-indulgent. Look at this right here in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is to be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled. Well, how do I show honor to my spouse? I need to be faithful to my spouse. That's one thing. But if you're not married, the way that you honor your future spouse, if God gives you one, is by the choices that you make today. And I do some premarital counseling with couples from time to time. I've never had a couple come into my office and say, you know what, I really wish that my fiance would have been more promiscuous before we met. I've just never had anybody say that. I mean, now I'll tell you, I have cried with some people who have shared some of their mistakes with their spouse-to-be and some of the heartache and the heartbreak that they've endured. That's the real stuff. Nobody's talking about that. That's the real stuff. That's why the marriage bed should be honored. And if you're single today, you honor your future spouse by the choices that you make today, even if you don't even know who that person may be at some point. So honor the marriage on the front end, and you'll have a better marriage, you'll have a healthier marriage later if you will show restraint and discipline today. Well, he says, marriage is to be honored by all. We ought to all honor marriage. And the marriage bed kept undefiled. So why do so many people not honor? It's because people don't know the Lord. We need God in our life. God is the one that teaches us to honor. Jesus Christ is the difference maker. Look at the Proverbs here in Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. When you know the Lord, you see God as the chief, you see people as an opportunity to esteem, and then you see yourself after that. If you don't have the Lord in your life, you see yourself as the God and as the boss, and that's why we got so many problems in our culture, is because people don't know the Lord. We need people to know Christ. We need to be bringing our friends to Edge Church to hear the good news of Christ. We need to be packing this place out for our Christmas Eve services. There's some people in your life that they wouldn't come to church any other Sunday, but they might come on Christmas Eve. They might come on Christmas Eve, and you got a great opportunity to encourage and to bless those people. People need the Lord. We need God in our life. We need Him. And life goes so much better with the Lord, doesn't it? It really does. So how do we honor the Lord? One, we commit our life to Christ. I mean, that's the greatest way to honor the Lord, is to just say yes to Jesus Christ and to the good news of the gospel and to accept His atoning death on the cross and His resurrection. But we can honor the Lord in some other ways too. Proverbs 3:9-10 says we ought to honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of our entire harvest, and when your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, the spirit of generosity, when we give, we honor God. Why are we generous? Why do we clap when we receive offerings at the Edge Church? Because we're showing honor to God, right? It's honor to the Lord. It honors God to be faithful when we give to the harvest offering. Honor. When we bring tithes and offerings, honor. When we have a spirit of generosity, honor, 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 honor the Lord. And notice the blessing that's tied to it here in verse 10. He says, when you honor the Lord with your possessions, then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow. That's blessing. Again, do you see the correlation here between honor and blessing? Husbands, if you honor your wives, your prayers won't be hindered. Children, if you honor your parents, your life will go better. Christ follower, if you will be generous and faithful with your possessions, then what? Then God will bless you. There's a correlation between honor and blessing and honor and blessing, and it's woven through the pages of Scripture over and over and over. And if we want God to bless our lives, we need to be people of honor. Amen? We need to be people of honor. We want Edge Church to be a place of honor. A place of honor, man. Place of honor. We can do that by worshiping the Lord. I mean, it's another great way that we honor the Lord. Worship. I hope that you will come early and that you may even stay late. It honors God when you show up 30 minutes into the service. Come on, man, does that honor the Lord? We need to honor the Lord by being on time, by being enthusiastic. I hope you have your notes or your Bible or whatever you do on your phone. You're excited. It honors God when you do that. It honors God when your kids are in the student ministry and in the youth ministry. And it honors God. It honors God when we do what God has said. You want to really honor God? When the Word says do something, you respond accordingly. Honor, 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 honor. The fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. One of my favorite examples in Scripture of honor is King David. King David is anointed to be the second king of Israel when he's a teenager. The prophet Nathan secretly anoints David to be king. The problem is you never anoint a king before the other king dies. And if the reason is because it will be seen as a threat to the kingdom of Saul. Saul doesn't know this, but God has a great plan. David's going to be the next king. Saul is a little cray-cray. Saul ends up hiring David to work in his cabinet. He's an advisor. He's a general. He's a leader in Saul's inner circle. And Saul tries to kill David. Again, he doesn't know he's been anointed, but he just sees him as a threat. Everybody loves David. Saul is consulting with mediums and witches and all kinds of stuff. And he's just becoming more and more bizarre the older he gets. And he's trying to kill David. And David had occasion to kill Saul. One of the ones that comes to mind the most is he's chasing David around in a series of caves. And Saul goes in to relieve himself into the cave. And David's hiding in the cave. And he takes a piece of his cloak and he cuts like the corner of it off to show Saul that he had the opportunity to take his life and he didn't. Why would David not kill Saul after Saul is oppressing David? Honor. Honor. He respected the fact that God had put him on the throne. And David believed this: until God removes him, he's my king. Honor. Do we have that level of trust and confidence in the Lord in our own lives? Or do we feel like sometimes we have to go tweak the system? You know, it's okay to talk bad about this person because they did this and whatever it was. Man, we need to esteem, we need to respect God's channels of authority and respect the things that God has put over us. When we do that, then God will bless us. When David became king, he was an amazingly blessed man. Because he waited, and he did it in God's timing, and he did it in God's way. Honor. Honor. In Mark chapter 6, we find the Lord Jesus has gone back to his hometown, the little village of Nazareth. And there's a sad commentary on that visit. The Bible says he could do no mighty works among them because they had no belief. What? Jesus? Walking on the water? Feeding the 5,000, raising the dead, healing the sick, couldn't do anything. There was no honor. Everybody treated Jesus like he was just one of the boys. Everybody thought Jesus was just one of them. Oh yeah, we used to play kickball with Jesus in kindergarten, you know. Hey, bro, what's up? When we treat the extraordinary like the ordinary, we lose the perspective of honor. And Jesus did no mighty works among them because there was no honor. If we want God to work in our lives, if we want God to work in our church, if we want God to work in our community, we need to be people of great honor. People who are esteeming, people who are valuing, people who are building up those who are around us. And in the words of the book of Romans chapter 12, let's honor one another above ourselves. Let's bow together for a word of prayer.